Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
And since it embraced capitalism, China has moved rapidly towards becoming the largest economy in the world and perhaps at some stage the most powerful superpower. But parallel to this is a move within the country to force it back towards its state-controlled communist roots, something Xi Jinping seems particularly keen to do. Michael Schumann is the author of Superpower Interrupted and joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Now, I suppose to coin a phrase, is a lot of China's motivation in recent decades, I suppose, make China great again?
That actually has been the primary purpose of Chinese policy going back more than a century.
And from their point of view, does it feel like there was an interruption in their history whereby too much contact with the West paused the progress of China to be the predominant world power?
Yeah, I mean, I think when the Chinese look at their own history, you know, it's not that China was always a great power, right? I mean, China had periods where, you know, the dynasties fell and they were invaded and so on. But China was a great power for very long periods of time. And I think throughout that period, even when they were kind of politically weak or militarily weak, they still commanded a tremendous amount of economic and especially cultural power in East Asia and beyond. And, you know, I think the confrontation with the West that began in the early 19th century was very jarring for China because they ran up against a different civilization that also thought that, they had a superior way of doing things and could really back that up with political and economic and military power. And this was a very different kind of experience for China that made them question their own traditions, their own history, their own civilization in a way that they really hadn't before. And they've been trying to figure out how to get back to their old great power status, you know, basically ever since.
Mm. And so under the current regime, though, there seems to be a move, as you describe it, to somehow almost marry the capitalist explosion that took place in China along with the older values of perhaps the Cultural Revolution, or at least a bit of that.
Yeah, what's going on now is actually a very important shift where you're seeing the current government under Xi Jinping stepping back from the liberal economic reform that has been, obviously, as you said, tremendously successful in China for the last 40 years and heading into a period where you're seeing greater state control over the economy, greater state control and intrusion into society. And, you know, it looks like this is Xi Jinping trying to bring back what he considers to be socialist values. I think the goal here is to prepare China for, I think, what he sees as the next stage of struggle, the next stage in China's national progress, which is taking that next big leap into being a world power and in the process, of course, having to confront the United States.
And that regulation seems to kind of be creeping into everything. I mean, culturally, in the sense of what kind of haircut you can have, how much you can play video games for.
When you look at all these things individually, it's just kind of, as you said, this kind of sweeping range of different things that's the government has sipped in on everything from what kind of consumer data tech companies can collect to how many hours kids can play online video games to what kind of men and what kind of images about men can appear on television. They've banned what they call effeminate men. And so when you look at all this stuff separately, it's like, well this all seems so bizarre. But I think when you put it all together, it all heads in a certain direction, which is Xi Jinping trying to remake Chinese society in line with his vision of what that society has to look like to succeed going forward.
But as part of the opening up of the economy, you have incredibly wealthy individuals, many incredibly wealthy individuals, many incredibly wealthy parts of China. Would it be fair to say Xi Jinping has always had something of a distaste for that?
There does seem to be a strain in his thinking that is a little bit Puritan, I'd say, right? So where he's concerned about what I think he sees as the excessive commercialization of Chinese society, which I think he equates with a loss of values. But I also think, and he sees this in very cold political calculations, where, you know, the Communist Party is always has its antenna up looking for potential challenges to its authority. And here you have private businesses, private entrepreneurs who have a tremendous amount of money, tremendous amount of influence within society. And I think the party has identified them as potential sources of independent influence and therefore potential challenges to party rule. And I think what you're seeing is an attempt to kind of to suppress that power or marginalize that power or make sure that the state ultimately has control over what these individuals and their companies are doing.
Can they do that but still maintain the economy?
Well, you know, that's the big question, right? I mean, if you want to look at this from a pure economic standpoint, you know, they're moving away from what was really been a tremendously winning formula in the last 40 years, which was, you know, a direction where you had less state interference, less state control, more scope for private enterprise, the encouragement of entrepreneurs. And now the government seems to be heading in the exact opposite direction. And you know, at best, you can say Xi Jinping is rolling the dice here. He's experimenting with some kind of a mix of this old formula where you had kind of, you know, more capitalist influence and infusing it with what he sees as kind of stricter discipline and more state intervention. But you could also see that he's, you know, he's really gambling with something that worked really well and taking it in a different direction that's unknown and very, very possibly a more negative direction where you have less entrepreneurship, slower growth of incomes. And, you know, that's bad for China. And honestly, that's not great for the world.
Though, I suppose China, like many other capitalist countries, has huge income inequality. Is he doing something about that?
Well, that's another big part of this campaign. He started to preach the idea of common prosperity. And to be honest, we're not quite sure exactly what that is yet. He's told us what it isn't. The government has tried to make clear this isn't kind of a Robin Hood, rob the rich kind of idea. And they've also said that it's not welfareism. They don't want to move in kind of a European welfare state direction, which Xi Jinping actually wrote he thinks it encourages laziness. But they are talking about policies that would shift more resources to underdeveloped areas, improve social services. And, you know, then you get into some vaguer ideas like adjusting excessive incomes. We don't quite know what that means, how you define excessive. But it looks like there is going to be pressure on these wealthier companies and individuals to give more to charity, quote unquote, voluntarily. And you know, this could have a big effect on the business environment in China, on people's willingness to take risks to be entrepreneurs. You know, if they ultimately get into trouble with the government or can't benefit from it in the way that they should expect.
As you say, it's a somewhat risky restructuring. Is it risky for him personally? And because next year, as I understand it, he may well go for a third term, but if at that stage the Communist Party thinks, well, this isn't working, it mightn't go well for him.
He is definitely taking a big risk, not just with the direction of the country, but his own personal fate. Yes, definitely. I mean, he's trying to break modern precedent and stay in power for a third term. That will be decided roughly a year from now. And I think on one level, he feels that the more control he has over the economy and society, the better able he has to, the more power he has, the better able he will be to make that happen. On the other side, because he centralized so much power in his own hands, you know, the buck has nowhere else to stop, right? So if things start to go wrong, if the economy really starts to slow, and you start seeing more problems, then there's no one else to blame but him, and he'll suffer for it politically.
For the time being, though, does it seem as if he has a lot of support within the party?
It does seem that he has support within the party, and he does have a certain amount of public support as well. But you know what we understand is that like any political movement, right? There's factions, and the Chinese Party, Communist Party, and government, they like to present themselves as a monolith, but of course they're not. And there are elements in the government and outside the government that don't necessarily agree with the direction he's taking the country and worry about it in many of the same ways that we'd be worried about it. Is a wider confrontation with the United States really the best thing for China at this stage, for instance? So, I think if he slips, if there ends up being serious problems, that he will find more challenges from within the political elite to his standing.
From his point of view, does he see a wider conflict or some sort of Cold War face-off with the U.S. as being inevitable?
That's a good question. It's hard to say. I mean, he seems to be preparing the country for this, right? When you look, for example, at another one of his main economic planks right now, which is self-sufficiency. It's a big goal of the country to decrease its reliance on the outside world, and especially in terms of, for example, technology. China is really still relying, for instance, on things like microchips from the U.S. and elsewhere. And I think he sees this as a vulnerability. And if you're going to be getting into a more adversarial conflict with the U.S. and its allies, this is something you have to worry about. So there's signs that he is preparing China and for this type of confrontation and trying to ensure that China's progress can continue even if this confrontation kind of widens.
Michael Schumann is a non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council's Global China Hub and the author of Superpower Interrupted: The Chinese History of the World. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.